The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at advanced medical testing centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome once again to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we have a full slate to discuss today. Good morning, Dr. Slavin.
Good morning, Janet. And I thought I'd like to talk about how physicians approach patients, or maybe better yet, how patients approach physicians. Usually what drives a patient to a physician, besides their car, is, they're not feeling well. No, you didn't like that joke.
No. Oh, okay.
So, I mean, and it could be lots of different complaints, from digestive complaints, like feeling nauseous or having constipation or diarrhea, or how about emotional problems like depression? And I want you to pay attention to these, because there may be a common denominator for all these complaints that you might not be aware of, and certainly a doctor is not looking for. You're feeling tired. How often do you hear that complaint?
Constantly.
Or how about headaches, palpitations?
Joint pains.
Right.
That's joint pain. Big one.
Or let's see. Some people have
problems,
right? Tremors, it happens. I wouldn't say it's a common complaint, but it certainly happens. But this is a biggie. Memory loss could be short-term or long-term memory loss. Remember, I'm going through a list of symptoms here that may have a common denominator that might be important to investigate.
I've talked to a number of different people who have an odd taste in their mouths, and so one of the issues here is a metallic taste, and sometimes the patients follow up with their doctors, and the doctors don't have anything to address it other than keep mints in your mouth, use a breath spray.
Now, here's another category. Allergies, a lot of people have those. Hair loss.
Insomnia.
That's
how
a common one.
How many people do you speak to, Dr. Slavin, who are taking medication for insomnia? And I know that you can help them make changes so that they are no longer so tied to their sleep aid drugs, either over the counter or by prescription.
So the point I'm trying to make here is that these are very common and frequent complaints that patients present to the physician with. And if we go back to look at, list them again, I can tell you exactly how a physician will deal with it. If you complain of depression, or if he feels you're depressed, he'll give you an antidepressant. If you complain of insomnia, or you're having trouble sleeping, he might give you a sleeping pill. How about palpitations or chest pain? You come in with those complaints. If he doesn't put you in a hospital right away because he might think it's an urgent problem, you certainly are in for a big workup to see if you need. You see, this is an interesting thing when it comes to cardiology. If you think about it, they have two treatments. It's either bypass or angioplasty or medications. So they work you up to see if they can, if you're a candidate for a bypass or angioplasty. If not, then they just give you medications to treat the symptom. The symptom being here, chest pain or palpitations. Same thing with asthma. If you have asthma, you know, shortness of breath, they'll give you bronchodilators. If you have chest congestion, if they attribute it to an infection, they might give you antibiotics. For the joint pains that you might experience, there's another set of drugs they'll give you, the non-steroidal anti-inflammatories. So you can see how, you know, for every symptom I listed, you know, there's a drug to treat that problem. But none of those symptoms are caused by a drug deficiency. Imagine having 10 different drug deficiencies.
Unfortunately, I see far too many people who actually seem to believe that those drugs truly are going to solve the problem. And unfortunately, what also seems to happen is enough of the drugs create enough other problems far removed from the original issue that they sought their doctor's help with, and they are taking even more drugs. I just don't see a whole lot of people who, with all of those drugs, feel well.
Well, you know, when they used to call the drugs by their real name, poisons, nobody would take them.
But that was a good joke.
But they changed the name, so now people... Isn't it funny how, you know, if you were to read the risks associated with taking many drugs, you would clearly understand that they are poisons and you wouldn't want to take them. But, you know, billions of dollars are spent every year on poisons. But we're talking about a real poison that can cause all those symptoms. And the point I'm trying to make here is, as part of your evaluation for why you're experiencing those complaints, you should be testing for mercury.
Okay, now, what are their doctors going to say to them if the patient goes into their doctor and they say, well, I heard someone speaking on the radio, and he was a doctor, and he suggested that I be tested for mercury because I've been dealing with insomnia, I've had sinusitis, I'm losing my hair, and I just don't feel well. What's your doctor going to say to
them? Well, I'm going to have to make the patient, like I do with the people that come to see me, I try to make them smarter than the other doctors they see. Because what we talk about is based on all published literature. It's not made up stuff. It's not even opinionated stuff. It's real stuff.
It's interesting because I'm very careful to talk with the clients that I see. I tell them, this is the research science published in peer-reviewed journals that you can evaluate for yourself. And then sometimes I do say, this is my opinion. I do say that.
Well,
because I have opinions based on everything that I've been accumulating over years and years and years of doing this.
Okay, so this is something, though, that the doctors aren't thinking about because they really never touched on it in medical school. In the context of chronic low-grade exposure to mercury. But here's what you have to know, that mercury is the most poisonous, non-radioactive, naturally occurring substance on our planet. There is no safe level of mercury because even one atom of it in your body is doing some harm. So don't you think we should check for it?
I absolutely think we should check for it. How, if this is such a significant poison, how is it that we accept mercury fillings in our mouths when we go to the dentist?
And by the way, there is no debate about the toxicity of mercury. I mean, every knowledgeable scientist and health professional understands how poisonous mercury is. But the problem is that the American Dental Association and the pro-amalgam dentists, there are still dentists, I guess, using amalgam fillings, which means fillings with mercury in it, say, well, we've used it for so long, if it was so dangerous, we would have seen an epidemic of problems. Well, maybe we do see an epidemic of problems. We're just not realizing it and attributing it to the exposure to mercury. Even the World Health Organization has stated that there is no safe level of mercury.
Do other countries use mercury amalgam fillings like we do here?
I'm going to guess they do because it's a very easy substance to work with when you're filling a cavity, and it's inexpensive. So the alternatives to the amalgam fillings are more expensive. I even think probably insurances, if you have dental insurance, may not even cover the more expensive fillings.
Okay, if you have dental insurance, might that cover removing dental amalgams?
That's a whole nother topic. You know, it's, my understanding is that even today, dentists are not allowed to tell a patient, you know, I see there's mercury fillings in your mouth, we should take them out. They're not allowed to do that. They can lose their dental license. But right. They're allowed to take them out if the patient were to ask the doctor or the dentist. Now, if you're going to have your mercury fillings removed, you want to go to a dentist that's been trained in the appropriate technique and the safe technique of removing them. Now, here's another point I want to make, and this is really important, that mercury can directly or indirectly either cause or contribute to or make worse every health issue we deal with. So what does that mean? That means, let's say you're being treated for cancer. You want to test your mercury levels because you want to get that impediment to healing out of your body so that whatever treatment you're using is going to give your body a better chance. And that's what I tell patients all the time. I say, you know, clearly you have a health challenge. Heavy metals may be a part of the picture. Regardless of what treatment you're attempting to use, if you have heavy metals in your body, you want to remove them. It's something that's not done often enough. And then if you do check for mercury, you want to test for it the right way. Doing a blood test for mercury is not the right test to do because it's not going to show up. Mercury is going to be bound up in the tissues of your body. It doesn't continuously circulate in your blood. So doing a blood test may not show any mercury. Except in one instance, if you were acutely poisoned with mercury, it may still show up in your blood because it hasn't had time to deposit itself into your tissues.
You know, Dr. Slavin, next week we're going to have our special guest, Dr. Len Horowitz, back on, and he'll be talking about 528 frequencies and the beneficial effects of that frequency on your body. But Dr. Horowitz began life as a dentist. We can have a little bit of a discussion in the beginning of our conversation with him, possibly about his opinions and his information with regard to mercury toxicity and the dental profession. I hear some music, and that means it's time for us to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio. Stay tuned because we have lots more of information for you about mercury.
Did you know that you can be eating a healthy diet, but that your body may not be absorbing the vitamins and nutrients from your foods? Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a premier blood draw center servicing Genova Diagnostics Lab. Genova offers an advanced comprehensive blood test that identifies your body's deficiencies in absorbing vitamins, nutrients, and essential cofactors. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard in Lauderhill. They offer an on-time appointment guarantee and the lowest price guarantee. Schedule your appointment today for a blood draw for the Genova Diagnostics Nutritional Evaluation Test. Call Advanced Medical Testing Centers at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com.
Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health, but want to do it from the comfort of your home?
Now you can conveniently schedule remote consultations with Janet Cimarelli at janetcimarelli.com. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations via telephone, Skype, or email with convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at janetcimarelli.com. And tune in to hear Janet on Natural Doc Radio, Monday through Friday, 10 to 11 a.m., right here on AM 1470 WNN.
And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. We're talking this morning about mercury and how mercury intoxication can be related to so many different health issues that you may be experiencing. It's absolutely dramatic. A lot of times we talk about mercury as a very, very significant neurotoxin, but I think it goes so far beyond brain issues. It goes into allergies. It goes into digestion. It just is literally systemic health challenges due to the presence of mercury. I have a question for you, Dr. Slavin. A lot of times I talk about, well, okay, that one issue isn't necessarily the cause of all of these, let's say, these diseases or these diagnoses. Do you think it is the same situation with mercury, that mercury might be an initiator, it might be a complicating factor, and that there are other issues that kind of tell you whether it's mercury that's contributing to your illness?
Well, I guess the way you should approach it is patient comes to the doctor, he hears your complaints, he attempts to treat it, and you're not responding to the therapy. And yet he's pretty certain that's what it is. And it could be a lot of different things. Here are some of the illnesses associated with mercury poisoning. But like we mentioned, it can either cause it or make it worse or, enhance it. It's not the only thing. So just like a nutritional deficiency may not in itself cause a problem, it makes it more susceptible to different things. So here are some of the things you have to think about. Alzheimer's. How many patients with the memory situation, they complain in the early stages, I don't remember like I used to. Have they checked the mercury levels in that person? Asthma, arthritis, cardiovascular disease, chronic fatigue, depression, diabetes. In other words, to restore your health, you have to remove all the impediments to healing, and you have to check for mercury because that can be one of the impediments. Even learning disorders in children, they put mercury in vaccinations.
People, I think when you say something like that to them, they almost have the reaction, for me, okay, well, that's crazy. They would never do something like that. But indeed, we know that. It's called thimerosal. And it's very interesting because sometimes they have said the mercury has been removed from vaccines. And to a certain extent, some of them have had the mercury removed. Some of them have merely renamed the mercury component. It's no longer so easily identifiable, but it's still in the vaccine.
All right, some of the other disorders. How about Parkinson's disease or senile dementia? A lot of people, they don't even use the term senile dementia anymore. But I remember when I was in training, there was a distinction between senile dementia and Alzheimer's disease.
Okay, so senile would indicate that the senile dementia would indicate that the individual was advanced age.
Older. As opposed to Alzheimer's disease, the other name for it was called pre-senile dementia. In other words, you saw someone with memory issues at a younger age, you knew there was another problem going on, because the senile dementia really is a circulatory problem. Just like your heart doesn't get enough blood flow, the brain doesn't get adequate blood flow, and dementia could be a result of that. But also, you know, nutrient deficiencies, vitamin B12 deficiency could be an issue. That's why testing is so important. If you don't look for the problems, you're never going to find them. So multiple sclerosis is on the list, too, of things related to mercury. So you have to really think about that and be tested. Now, we were talking about a blood test not being adequate. You have to do a provocative test. A provocative test meaning you take a mercury chelator. And the easiest one to use is DMSA, because you can take that orally.
Do you advise that, Dr. Slavin, the DMSA? If people have no other option, is that a good beginning possibility?
Well, for the test, for the provocative test.
No, the DMSA taken orally.
To do the test.
Oh, okay.
In other words, and then you collect the urine.
I misunderstood.
Yeah. Now, can you treat mercury with DMSA orally? Yes, you can. It, you know, removing any heavy metals from the body is a slow process, because if you remove them too quickly, you can create damage to your kidneys, for example. So you take out a small amount on a daily basis over time. Can you chelate mercury intravenously with chelation? Yes, you can. And it really depends what other heavy metals are associated with the mercury.
Here's my take. Anybody over the age of 50 has got to have been accumulating not only mercury, but a whole range of heavy metals and other toxins. And chelation therapy is such an efficient way to make sure you're giving that foundation to your health.
Well, some people, obviously more than others, I think another role or another factor in how much mercury or other heavy metals you accumulate is based on how much nutrient minerals you're taking in, magnesium, calcium, zinc, copper. If you're taking an adequate amount of that, it's going to be a little bit more difficult to absorb the heavy metals because the receptor sites are taken up. But if you're deficient in nutrient minerals, like most Americans are, because their diets are nutrient poor, then it's very easy to absorb all these heavy metals. The body can't distinguish between one mineral or another. It's a mineral. It takes it in.
So AMT Centers actually has available NutriEval, so a nutrition evaluation, and SpectraCell, they do the whole profile of nutrients, and that's a really good way for people to know if they have adequate levels of those nutrients to minimize the uptake of toxic metals and toxins in general.
And also the provocative test for heavy metals. You
right.
want to see what's in your body. So one test, you're looking at nutrient levels. The others are looking for toxins in your body. If you don't look, you don't know.
Okay, now, people are going to go to their doctor and talk about what they heard possibly today. And what might a doctor say about a provocative test? Would they be in agreement?
They probably don't even know about it, number one. And usually what they would do is just order a blood test. And then
you know what we need to do? We need to have a very nice wine and cheese party for the physicians in the area, just to let them know what's available here at AMT Centers. I mean, it's so critical. And if people don't know about it, you can't blame them. So we need to do some more education.
You know, the feedback I get from patients, doctors are so busy. You know, and they're so entrenched in the way they practice medicine.
It's hard to bring something new into
basically, your practice. You know, basically writing prescriptions for everybody. That do they really want to learn something new? Usually not.
Maybe they want to feel better for themselves.
Well, that's how it usually happens. You know, the doctors that come to the meetings like the American College for Advancement of Medicine or the American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine, and more doctors are coming, and they're coming first to figure out how to get better themselves because what they've been taught isn't working.
So, unfortunately, those very hard-working doctors that expected to have all of the tools to feel well themselves are kind of experiencing some of the negative health issues that their patients are dealing with, and finding out that unfortunately the prescriptions are not delivering the way they have been told.
Well, if you have mercury toxicity, if you don't remove the mercury, you know, it's going to remain there being a block to healing. So there are a lot of factors you have to do to restore health. I recommend you listen to our program from last Friday and the Friday before with Sherry Rogers, who's been
And she's going to come join us again. I just don't have a date yet.
Okay. Advocate of removing toxins from your body. First of all, don't put them in to begin with, but then get them out. One of the ways she recommends is using a sauna on a regular basis.
A far infrared sauna, and you can have a very, very highly effective detoxification approach with a portable far infrared sauna.
And you would think with all the publicity, not just around mercury in amalgams or mercury in vaccinations and mercury in fish, I mean, it's been publicized quite a bit, yet the testing for mercury hasn't become routine. I mean,
okay, and it hasn't become routine, Dr. Slavin, because the mainstream medical community doesn't have an efficient way of detoxifying. It would mean very, very different approaches that many of the doctors haven't been trained in. So there's the reason.
That's true, it's important for doctors to continue their education.
Of course
especially
it is.
Especially when your patients aren't getting better. You should say, maybe I'm missing something. Maybe somebody else has a better approach that's going to work. But it's hard to get patients better in a 5-minute visit.
That's so very, very true. The other thing is, too, Dr. Slavin, do you think that there are doctors out there who are very frustrated that they have an answer that's reasonable for a patient with certain symptoms, and the patient says, well, can't you just give me a pill?
I'm sure
isn't that kind of like a request sometimes?
Well, I'm sure that happens. In fact, that's a common expectation of the patient. Not the ones that come to see me because they've been through that approach, and they realize the pills are a temporary fix, if a fix at all, and they begin to realize, and it's only common sense, how could a pill make you better? Think about it. It doesn't grow on trees, doesn't grow in the ground, it's not a nutrient. Look at the side effects, look at what's in the pill. All it's doing is blocking pathways in your body to block the symptoms that the underlying problem is causing, and then you think you're better temporarily until the pill's no longer effective and that you get the problem again.
You talked about it yesterday, and it had to do with the responsibility of the patient needing to take an active role in the walk to wellness. I hear that music again, and we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back with more on Natural Doc Radio.
Are you concerned with the current state of your heart and blood vessels? Advanced Medical Testing Centers, your premier blood draw center, draws for Singulex Labs, which offers specialized blood tests that can help you uncover hidden cardiovascular disease that other tests may miss. Talk to your doctor today about the Singulex tests and call Advanced Medical Testing Centers to schedule your blood draw. We guarantee your on-time appointment and guarantee the lowest price. Call us at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a proud sponsor of Natural Doc Radio, which airs on this station each weekday morning at 10 a.m.
The Institute of Advanced Medicine brings you the latest in natural health care, reviewing the published research, attending conferences with health experts from around the world. That allows the healthcare team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill to provide you the quality and experience you're searching for in a healthcare team. Testing to target your individual needs and treating with natural and holistic approaches, the goal is wellness. You can reach the Institute of Advanced Medicine easily on Commercial Boulevard just west of the Florida Turnpike or three blocks east of University Drive in Lauderhill. You can call us 954-748-4991 to learn more. 954-748-4991. And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we're talking about mercury toxicity. Dr. Slavin?
And we were, you know, if you are just tuning in, we were talking about all the symptoms related to that. And almost every symptom that you can think of, from digestive tract problems to emotional issues like depression or anxiety, to fatigue and headaches, to palpitations, to asthma, muscle aches and pains, even tremors like Parkinson's disease can be all associated with mercury toxicity. But the thing you have to keep in mind is that there are other factors that can play a role in all those symptoms as well. In other words, when you present to a physician with a complaint, he has to think like this. He has to say, you know, genetics could play a role, diet can play a role, lifestyle, the environment, occupation, substance abuse, either alone in combination with each other. All those things can be a factor in your complaint. But he skips those things. He just thinks, what drug deficiencies do you have? But here's the important thing. Regardless of what's causing the problem, if you have mercury in your body, in addition to it, it's going to make it far worse. So it's just one of the things you have to consider, test for it, and if it's there, you know, remove it from your body so the body can start healing up. Probably the biggest source of mercury, and I think the big, probably it all started with mercury amalgams in your mouth, the whole attention to mercury as being a problem, and still being put in people's mouths. And then it moved on to the mercury in all the vaccines. And, of course, then it was in the mercury in the fish. And, by the way, you shouldn't be eating any fish from inland waterways in Florida because of the mercury content. And I remember reading a an article about this in the Sun Sentinel. And what I remember, what stood out, was they said the period at the end of this sentence, if that was the amount of mercury in a lake, that's enough to poison the whole lake. To give you an idea of just how toxic mercury is.
I'm really upset about how our dental community handles that information, Dr. Slavin.
Well,
and, you know, if we know about it and we're talking about it and there's all of this research available, certainly the American Dental Association, the FDA, all of the government agencies, the pharmaceutical companies that produce vaccines, they know this information as well.
Well, think about it. As a kid, you had mercury thermometers. Now it's difficult to find a mercury thermometer. I remember, in fact, the sphygmomanometer, That's your blood pressure machine. You used to use mercury.
I could never say that word, yeah.
Used to use mercury in it. You don't see those anymore. I remember watching a dentist prepare the filling for me, and he was massaging, for lack of a better term, the amalgam filling in the palm of his hand, you know, to sort of mix all the everything together, you know, not wearing gloves or anything, because there was a learning curve, and it was never really considered to be a problem. And so they were using it. Now, to dispose of mercury, you have to have a special biohazardous waste disposal, and it's looked at in a different way, except that they still put it in. Imagine you have to dispose of it in a biohazardous waste container, but they still put it in vaccinations and in fillings. And, of course, you can't help it in the fish because it's in the environment. So it's really a problem that needs to be looked into. Now, by the way, with fish.
I just want to say that I remember in chemistry class holding the mercury in the palm
right.
of my hand.
Or playing with it, too. It used to, you know, the little.
Entertainment.
And fish, so you want to stay away from the big fish. They seem to have more mercury, like tuna and marlin. Is that the one that they have?
Swordfish.
Swordfish. Yeah, swordfish and tuna, probably the two biggest ones. You try to eat fish from cleaner waters. I'm thinking maybe.
Hey, where are those clean waters, Dr. Slavin? The idea is you eat the small fish.
Right. So
sardines, anchovies, smelt. Are they the same as sardines?
No, this is another small fish.
Okay.
How about red snapper?
That has a whole other area of concern there, because that would be considered almost a shore fish. Mm-hmm. They're found near shore. There is a certain toxin in those, but it's kind of rare.
And yellowtail? You're not referring to cigatera, are you?
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. When I first came down to Florida, never heard of that before, and I'm working the emergency room, and a patient comes in with those symptoms.
Right.
Because he had eaten, it's found in barracuda and fish like that that eat the reefs. And apparently he had eaten a fish that had eaten a fish that had eaten a fish that had it. And it's a very unique type of poisoning where your sensations are reversed. Hot feels cold, cold feels hot. It's not a good thing. And there really wasn't any particular treatment for it either. But we're talking about mercury, and I just think it's something we need to consider when you have a problem that just doesn't want to go away. And how do you get rid of mercury? You can use oral mercury chelators. You want to continually do testing, perhaps every 3 months, to see if you've gotten the levels down. There are people who like to eat fish and routinely take mercury chelators to deal with the low-level chronic accumulation of mercury.
On a regular basis, it's okay to take those things?
Yeah, it's okay if you are aware of the other things it might do.
Okay.
Like pull out nutrient minerals as well.
Okay. Is it a reasonable thing that you're very, very attentive to taking in the nutrient minerals while you're taking that substance to pull mercury?
First of all,
I'm just going back to the nutrition evaluation and spectrocell mm-hmm. testing. That's the way to address it.
You don't want to do self detoxification. You want to, you know, do it under a doctor's supervision. You want to be tested appropriately and make sure everything is being done properly. You know, the reason why chelation therapy, or at least the only thing that's pointed to, is that, oh, it caused kidney problems. Well, it caused kidney problems in the early days of its use, back in the 1940s, when they hadn't established the safe dosage of the chelator to use. You know, if you do it properly in the proper fashion. So what does that mean? The proper dose in the proper time frame. You got to, you know, be introduced to your body slowly. You know, so if you're getting chelation in a rapid manner, you're putting yourselves to greater risk.
Okay, so there are all different levels of, or potentially all different levels of kidney function in different patients that might not necessarily be known. So during chelation therapy, what are you doing? You test kidney function and determine how to proceed?
Well, there's an algorithm that should be used. I don't know if, you know, if you're getting chelated, ask the doctor to show you how he calculated the dosage, because I've seen patients come here and that wasn't done on them. But you check, it has to do with your height, your weight, your gender, your renal function, because, you know, and you all plug that into the algorithm and it determines the safe dosage of EDTA to use. If your doctor's not doing that, then he's either giving you too much or too little. And obviously, if he gives you too much, puts you at risk for side effects, you know, or damage to the kidneys. If he gives you too little, you're not going to really get the benefit of the treatment.
Taking too little, would the treatment just take longer?
Way longer.
Way.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can be there forever. And the oral chelators take even longer than that. We had a discussion on a radio show years ago. Remember, the reason it's done intravenously is because the oral chelators aren't absorbed very efficiently. So with EDTA, only 5% of the total dose is absorbed. So to use an example, if we gave someone 3,000 milligrams of EDTA intravenously, only 150 milligrams would be absorbed, 5% orally, if we gave the same dose. Now, if you took that chelator every day, so in a month, you'd have about 4,500 milligrams of EDTA absorbed. But in a month's time, we might do as many as 8 treatments. So we would have almost 8 times as much of the chelator and removing the body. So it could take 8 times longer.
Okay, I have a question. When people are taking that test to evaluate their mercury toxicity, is it also evaluating the presence of other heavy metals? And I'm thinking of lead and arsenic. Do those also show up in that test?
Well, you have to know the labs that specialize in this testing. It requires special knowledge and special equipment to do the test properly, and they're going to look for other heavy metals as well. But the main heavy metals that we look at are lead, mercury, arsenic, and cadmium. Those are the real toxic ones. There are a lot of other heavy metals. For example, we had a patient the other day, a lot of gadolinium.
Wow.
Gadolinium is the contrast agent.
Right.
So you can see all that picked, you know, a lot of that up. So there are other minerals that are picked up, but the heavy ones are there. And when I say heavy, those are the heavy metals.
Okay. Is it multiple scans requiring a contrast that would ultimately result in that high intoxication of gadolinium? Or is one?
Just one.
Okay. So people who are dealing, because that's an important bit of information to discuss with patients who are using some sort of scan with contrast.
But it's not felt to be toxic. I want to make that point clear. It's not like mercury or lead or cadmium or arsenic. Those are deadly toxins. Gadolinium is a heavy metal that's picked up in the test, but it's not felt to be toxic and shouldn't be put into the same category as the other ones.
Okay. I hear music. And we're coming up on our last break here on Natural Doc Radio. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Are you concerned with the current state of your heart and blood vessels? Advanced Medical Testing Centers, your premier blood draw center, draws for Singulex Labs, which offers specialized blood tests that can help you uncover hidden cardiovascular disease that other tests may miss. Talk to your doctor today about the Singulex tests and call Advanced Medical Testing Centers to schedule your blood draw. We guarantee your on-time appointment and guarantee the lowest price. Call us at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a proud sponsor of Natural Doc Radio, which airs on this station each weekday morning at 10 a.m.
Janet Cimarelli is a licensed nutrition counselor and co-host of Natural Doc Radio. Are you in search of the fountain of youth, trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy? There are three main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. Through her remote counseling sessions, she works with many clients to help them manage these three areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. She can help you maintain optimal health that will have you looking and feeling young again. She offers sessions through telephone, Skype, or email. Sessions are 30 minutes long, and she provides you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. Schedule your appointment today at janetcimarelli.com. Don't wait. Your clock is ticking.
And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I just want to tell everybody about my brand new line of products, Janet's Best Formulas. They're available here at the Institute of Advanced Medicine. So if you're interested in finding about anti-inflammatory benefit, antioxidant benefit, then you need to know about Janabiotics and Jana Juice, and they are also available at Greenlands, and Greenlands having a very, very big special breast cancer awareness celebration this month in October. Toonies also has the products. So, let's see, The Healthy Way in Boca Raton, Vitamin Emporium in Deerfield. So many different people having the products that you can go and find Janet's Best at all of those locations, Janabiotics and Jana Juice. Dr. Slavin?
Well, we're talking about mercury, and back in 2013, Secretary of State John Kerry signed the Minamata Treaty, and that treaty had to do with mercury, and the U.S. government signed it. And that, and part of that treaty includes a pledge to phase down dental amalgams effective immediately.
What year was that?
2013.
Okay, so,
here's the FDA's position on amalgams. It continues to support amalgams, if not its increased use. It continues to support its use of mercury fillings in direct violation of the Minamata Convention.
So they didn't read the terms of that treaty?
Well, apparently not following the treaty like they should. This has finally come out. You know, mercury is a bad substance that needs to be avoided at all costs. And, you know, it's not. I guess it's an inconvenient substance. So, again, if you're having a health challenge, and by the way, a lot of people have mercury fillings, and I don't automatically say to someone with mercury fillings, rush out and get them out of your mouth. But if you're having a health challenge, you might want to consider that. And then you find a doctor, a dentist that knows how to remove it in a safe fashion. And by a safe fashion, it means he's protecting your airway, he's protecting your throat so you don't swallow it, you don't inhale it while he's removing it, because they have to grind out the fillings. So they're creating a lot of microscopic or small particles as they grind it out. So you have to have exhausts and the proper equipment to remove it. They still say maybe, you know, the dentists had a high suicide rate, and they would attribute that to mercury toxicity.
Well, when we started, and it's up there now, related diseases to chronic mercury poisoning, Parkinson's disease and multiple sclerosis. And I believe there's very, very credible research connecting exposure to mercury and Parkinson's disease, and that the dentists have a higher rate of diagnoses with Parkinson's than the general population.
Well, also associated with Parkinson's disease is all the pesticides used on the lawns down here.
Farmers using mercury-contaminated pesticides have a higher rate also than the general population.
And it may not just be mercury. It may be there are obviously other chemicals, glyphosate. They have a high incidence. We're talking about Parkinson's disease and exposure to these chemicals on the golf course, for example. Probably in all the inland waterways because it's all it rains, it gets washed into the waterways, so swimming in the canals.
And I tell people who are golfers, take off everything in the garage and put it right into your washing machine. And then all of those mercury toxins that are liberated from your clothing are washed into the waterways, as you said, Dr. Slavin.
So I guess the point we're trying to make is if you have a health challenge, consider mercury as being a contributing factor, not necessarily the entire cause, but by a contributing factor, it can make it worse. It can be an impediment to your healing. If you have it in your body, you want to remove it. So we talked about removing it through chelation, which is the use of a binding agent to bind up with the mercury so your body can expel it. But when you have to do that, you have to remove your mercury fillings first. Otherwise, here's another point. A lot of patients have come to me. They said, well, you know, I've removed my mercury fillings. I'm fine. I said, but what about the mercury you left behind in your body? What did you do to remove that? And in many cases, they have done nothing. So just removing the mercury fillings isn't enough. You know, test your levels in your body. If they're still elevated, you have to take steps to remove it from the rest of your body.
So how many people who come to you with arthritis, Dr. Slavin, and they're looking for relief from pain and they have tried a number of different approaches, how many of those people would it be reasonable to suggest a heavy metals test and then ultimately to be doing chelation therapy?
Well, again, I don't want to make a blanket statement, but be tested to see if you meet the criteria for chelation and mercury toxicity. We can't automatically say it, but you have to think of it. It has to be included in the thought process as a possible reason. Now, if you come in with arthritis and I tell you, change your diet, avoid the nightshade vegetables, and you get better, I say good. But if it continues to be a problem and nothing you do is making a difference, you should be checking for mercury.
And after you've done the test for nightshade vegetables, what I tell people is do a 2-week avoidance of citrus fruits, not lemon, but oranges and grapefruits. And so you have them removed from your diet for 2 weeks. Then you have a day that's very, very high in citrus fruits and just observe the results. And it could be fatigue. It could be headache. It could be nausea. It could be a lot of different things, but it gives you a very good indication that perhaps your body is sensitive to and not able to digest properly citrus fruits. And they're another category that can contribute to joint pain and inflammation. So it's just a very, very reasonable approach in my opinion that chelation can be so helpful in so many different areas. And unfortunately, so many people think about it as heart disease only.
Well, I was going to say the joint pains are not an Advil or a Aleve deficiency.
That's true.
But the commercials make you think that's all you have to do for it.
Okay, so non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs and ultimately not only digestive symptoms, but also, as Dr. Sherry Rogers was pointing out, a damage to your heart and circulatory system in the long term.
It can cause heart attacks and death.
There you go.
That's why they pulled Vioxx off the market.
Right.
So the other ones, but aspirin is exempt from that claim.
Do you think so? Because in Dr. Sherry Rogers' book, she lists aspirin in that category.
Well, I guess, to be safe, perhaps. I think if you use it on the short term, not a real problem. If you find yourself chronically using those substances, you want to take a different approach because there's a potential for real harm.
So aspirin, very, very helpful at reducing inflammation across the board. But what you want to do is get to the underlying cause of the inflammation. What is the across the board contributing factor list that you need to know about?
Well, for that, it's a big list, just like for everything else. It's what you're eating, what you're exposed to in the environment. Allergies, allergy testing may play a role in looking for, hidden food allergies. But the patients say, but I've been eating that all my whole life. But you can still develop an allergy at any time.
I know we are almost out of time, but can people find out about their genetics and their risk for those different medications, the different foods and such? And we can maybe talk about that tomorrow, Dr. Slavin.
Good idea.
Okay. And to all of our listeners, thanks so much for tuning in. And we'll be back here tomorrow from 10 to 11, Natural Doc Radio. And you can find us on naturaldocradio.com. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.